When I visit Darren Borges at his office in Medford, he shows me a colorful poster that illustrates what the ideal, dry, southwestern Oregon forest looks like. And historically, he says, this ecosystem was nurtured and maintained by fire.
What we've lost over 100 years of fire exclusion is the portion of the landscape that supported open, sun-dappled woodland and forest.
Borges is with the nonprofit Nature Conservancy. He says putting fire back to work on the landscape is a key part of a restorative approach to forestry.
We're setting the stage for the return of fire. To a large extent, we anticipate that's going to be planned, controlled burns conducted at times when we have the highest certainty that we'll get the outcomes that we need and that the burn can be conducted safely.
The Nature Conservancy is one of several partners in a 10-year program to restore ecological balance to nearly 8,000 acres of mountain forest next to Ashland, Oregon. By thinning excess growth that historically would have been cleared out by natural forest fires, the project hopes to head off a severe fire that could endanger the town's water supply as well as its tourist economy. Borges says the same principles could be scaled up to apply across larger landscapes, for instance, the Rogue Basin.
We have a draft strategy out now that shows about 2.1 million acres that should be treated for a variety of reasons and for a variety of sort of objectives.
This idea has gained wide currency, and the U.S. Forest Service has identified tens of millions of acres across the West as needing treatment. But some researchers aren't sold on this model. Dominic Della Sala is chief scientist at the Ashland-based Geos Institute, a nonprofit that deals with climate change. Della Sala agrees that fire is a crucial element in maintaining healthy forests, but he says the data don't support the idea that a buildup of forest fuels is the problem.
If fuels were contributing to more forest fires and more severe fires, that's what we would be seeing in the West. We are actually in a deficit of fire severity and fire acres in most of the West compared to historical times.
Della Sala points to records that show the number of acres burned in the West in the early 20th century was as high or higher than in recent years. Those numbers dipped mid-century, then started picking back up in the 1980s. Levels are now back on par with those of 100 years ago. What's different, he says?
We now have a climate signal that's driving fire behavior. More and more fires are responding to climate, extreme weather events, drought, high winds, high temperatures. That is going to override any kind of fuel treatments that we do on the ground.
Rather than try to reduce fire across the landscape, Della Sala says we should learn to coexist with it.
Coexistence involves letting more of these fires safely burn in the backcountry and focusing on protecting lives and homes. Logging in the backcountry does not help.
Della Sala notes that using fire-resistant building materials and clearing trees and brush from around a house improves the odds of it surviving even a severe fire to better than 90%. He says coexistence with fire also means thinking twice about where we build.
Just like we don't build on top of a volcano or we don't build in a floodplain, we need to really look at some tighter land use restrictions because we're setting people up and homes up for future fire effects.
Wildfires may not be at historic high levels, but the cost of fighting them certainly is. For the first time ever, this year, the U.S. Forest Service spent more than half its budget on firefighting. And one main driver of that expense is the need to protect lives and property as development pushes further into the woods. Liam Moriarty, JPR News.